Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library Card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org. Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. About 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, October the 8th. Happy to be back from vacation. Thanks to John Munson for filling in for me last week. And happy to be welcoming in the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Phil Corvo, who, as he does just about every month, will share the latest news about Wisconsin Public Radio on issues that affect the programming that you receive. And we'll also share some of the listener letters and emails and calls from the past month that we have from our Audience Services Center. And he'll answer any questions and respond to your feedback if you call 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to us while we are on the air to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email, and we will get to as many of your questions, your concerns, your compliments, or your gripes as possible this hour. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Joy.
Happy October.
Same to you.
Yeah, we missed September because of vacation schedules and work schedules, but here you are now in October. You have been doing this for at least a couple of years now, haven't you, Phil? And you missed only September. That's the only month ever that we've missed. Somebody called in to say, Phil's not on with you every month, but you are indeed every month except last September.
We did miss that one month, but it's a good time to kind of make some announcements and get a feel for what our listeners and members are thinking about.
Yeah, you know, it is October the 8th. This is the second Monday of the month, and usually you join us on the first Monday of the month, but I was on vacation last week, so I wanted to have you rescheduled to join me now. Sure doesn't feel like October with the weather that we've been having
been unbelievable. I can't believe how warm it is. I can't say that I'm eager for winter to get here, but it does seem unusual. The trees don't seem to know what they want to do if they want to change colors.
The weather will be turning, though, a little bit more seasonal this week. It's going to get a little cooler, and I think starting tomorrow, in fact, which will feel more like fall. And another sure sign that fall is upon us is that our fall membership drive starts later this week.
It starts on Thursday. Our goal is $195,000. And this is the time of year we ask our listeners to become members, and we do it three times a year. We try to keep it down to a minimum, but it's really the only way that we can ask our listeners to join the membership. But I would say that most of our members, I can't stress this enough, do renew by mail, and that's the most efficient way of doing it. If everyone did that, we'd be in pretty good shape, but still, people do move away from the state and drop their membership for whatever reason or another. So it's a very important time for us. Membership makes up a little over a third of our operating budget, so it's a very important source of funding. And it's actually kind of a fun time, Joy. We have a lot of volunteers who come into the studio and members calling, and it's I think many of us sort of dread it when it's coming up, but when it's actually happening, we have a really good time. It's sort of a celebration of sorts. So.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of we try to provide the same kind of programming and talk about issues that matter to you, but we do some special events. Like, for example, Phil, I will be talking with Gene Faraca on the first day of the Pledge Drive, Thursday, October the 11th. During this hour, during the 8 o'clock hour, talking to Gene, a popular host on the Ideas Network, and now new author of a brand new book called I Hear Voices, a memoir, which talks about her family and herself, and a little bit about her job as a talk show host on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, congratulations to Gene. She did a reading here in Madison at Borders Books last week that was really well attended, and I was really happy to see that. And she's just a terrific person, a terrific radio host, and a great writer, too.
Yeah, and another special event during the pledge drive is the old-time radio night on Saturday, the 13th of October, on Saturday night, a live performance during old-time.
Right. This coming Saturday, there will be a performance at the Hemsley Theater in Madison. So tickets are free to that. But if you'd like to go, you do need to have a ticket online. And you can go online to UT Madison, University Theater Madison, utmadison.com, and try to get your free tickets for that broadcast. So that should be a lot of fun. We've also got coming up in September, Terry Gross will be in Whitewater on October 30th at Young Auditorium, UW-Whitewater. I think you can still get tickets for that. And we have a Capital Steps Halloween special coming up at the end of the month.
That's right, on Halloween at 5:30 here on the Ideas Network. We will hear Politics Takes a Holiday and the scary political satire of the Capital Steps.
Always an enjoyable time.
Yeah. Terry Gross, by the way, will also be one of Jean Faraca's guests during the pledge drive, during the membership drive, during her 3 o'clock program during Here on Earth. I can't remember exactly what day that's going to be, but maybe Leo can look it up. But she will, Terry Gross will join Jean Faraca, and I think one of the little special pledge premiums will be tickets to her appearance at Whitewater.
That's terrific. She is such a wonderful person. She's very warm and just a wonderful guest to have. I really like Terry.
Yeah, and I know that there was a special visit from the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me crew from the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me program in Beloit this month, but I understand that's sold out, so no way you can attend that, but you'll be able to hear the program on the air in just a couple of weeks.
Right.
So what else is new, Phil? We've got this pledge drive upon us, and I'm wondering if you want to talk a little bit about the importance of meeting the goal, given that right now we don't really have a state budget in place.
Well, that's right. Mm. It's always important, but it's more important now than ever. Like any other state agency or agency around the state who's funded either wholly or partially by the state, we're kind of been in a frozen position for these first 3 months of the fiscal year. Now headed into the fourth month, it's something that we all hope will be settled pretty soon, but as many of our listeners know, the assembly version of the state budget zeroes out funding for public radio and television, which is a very serious thing for us because state funding makes up nearly a third of our budget. The state of Wisconsin has always been supportive and proud of its public radio and television services, and that's one of the reasons that we're so strong here in Wisconsin is because of that state support. And the assembly version of the budget proposed cuts for Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television amounting to $2.7 million in cuts the first year, which is a 50% reduction, and then $5.4 million the second year in fiscal year 09, which is a zeroing out, eliminating all state funding for Wisconsin Public Radio and Television, both on the university side and on the Educational Communications Board, which is our partner in Wisconsin Public Radio, and takes care of all the transmitters around the state, so that would affect service to them. So it's a very serious thing for us. Many of our members have been supportive in contacting their legislators and telling them how they feel about the support and the importance of public radio and television in Wisconsin. You can do that, too. There's a link on the Wisconsin Public Radio Association website, and that the address of that site is wpra.org, wpra.org. And there's more information, an FAQ about the budget cuts, proposed budget cuts, and what effect they would have on Wisconsin Public Radio, and a link to contact your legislators if you feel so inclined. So it's as this thing drags on month after month, it affects us. We are not able to make any hires. We're not able to make any major purchases. So it's something that, as time goes on, is going to be affecting the service more and more. And so we're very hopeful. We're very optimistic that the cuts will be restored in the final budget, similar to what the governor has proposed. And we'll just hope that the support of our listeners and members will help to carry the day.
We early morning listeners to the Ideas Network, Phil, heard something a little bit different this morning between 5 and 6 o'clock. Instead of As It Happens from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, they heard the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, the World Service Program, the overnight service. That change was made because?
Two main reasons, Joy. One is that the program, As It Happens, comes from the Canadian broadcasting system. It's produced and broadcast live in Canada. It's an afternoon drive time or late afternoon program. We carry it at 8 o'clock, which is just a couple of hours after it's produced. But by 5 o'clock in the morning the next day, the news is pretty old, especially on Mondays, where we're airing actually Friday's program. So that was a bit troublesome. Also, the program, the way it's put together and delivered to the stations, it's and I don't have all the technical terms, but there are a lot of ways that technical errors can crop up with the program, both on their side and on our side, and that's been happening more often lately, and so that was a concern, and then. The third reason is we had carried the BBC formerly up until your show at 6 o'clock, and one of the reasons we shied away from that in recent years was because the end of the 5 o'clock hour had things like cricket scores and things that weren't particularly of interest to American listeners, but they've changed the format of that now, and you can hear business news and updates on politics and international news. And we think it's a great service and hope that our listeners agree.
We are talking with Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, about Wisconsin Public Radio. And your questions are welcome at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon after 3 o'clock on Here on Earth, Gene Faraca sorts through the ongoing controversy surrounding the discovery of the Americas by explorer Christopher Columbus. The Columbus controversy coming up on this Columbus Day, Monday, October the 8th. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo. Phil joins us once a month to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And Phil, let's go to our first caller. Actually, let's go to Dennis in Rice Lake, who is interested in the As It Happens story. Hi, Dennis, you're on the air. I'm sorry, Dennis, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Still enjoy. I actually enjoy listening to the CBC broadcast Monday mornings, but if it goes away, that's okay. But is it going to go away in the evening broadcasting?
No, we and that's one of the reasons that we discontinued it in the morning as well, because there aren't a whole lot of programs that we repeat. We try to keep that down to a minimum. But no, we intend to keep broadcasting it on the day that it's produced.
Good to know.
All right, thanks very much, Dennis, for the call. Matt in Matt, I'm not sure. Are you from Merrill?
No, actually, Maryland.
Maryland. As in the state?
Small town, let's see, near Black River Falls.
Okay, yeah, welcome.
Thank you, and I just wanted to say how much I love the BBC programs and the As It Happens. It's just you get such a nice, all-encompassing news world, you know, that we don't always get here. So I just wanted to say how much I liked it.
You know, I a lot of our listeners feel the same way. It's good to get a different perspective on the news, and it really is a different perspective. I listen to it a lot. I actually go to the BBC website often for, I shouldn't say that because you should be going to the WPR website.
There we go.
But it is a different take on the news, and it's good to know that there are perspectives on what's happening from another viewpoint from all around the world. Sometimes we become too insular.
Thank you very much, Matt from Maryland. Betsy in River Falls is with us now. Hi, Betsy.
Hi. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm a good supporter and have been a good supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio for a long, long time. But this weekend in River Falls, it was impossible to get Wisconsin Public Radio all weekend. Saturday morning, all Saturday, and it was being received in Eau Claire. Both days, but not here. Saturday, the sound was jaggedy, like a bad cell phone call.
On WRFW?
Yes. Uh-huh. And at 7:45 yesterday morning, we lost all connection with the radio, with Madison. And I know about the phone number to call in Eau Claire, but that person was not taking phone calls. And my question is, basically, is the money that you're putting into digitizing or digital broadcasting of your wonderful, wonderful radio station, meaning that you're not spending money on keeping up with just plain old radio broadcasting? I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Are we suffering?
Two good questions. One is we're really trying to focus on some of these technical errors, and in fact, every other Monday, today at 11, we have a quality control team that's made up of engineering folks from both the Educational Communications Board and the University Extension who look into all of these, and I'll make sure that that's on the agenda. There must have been some technical difficulty there. The answer to your second question about HD radio is no. It's that is not having an effect. We've been very fortunate with HD radio to have the stations that have been converted to have them have been fully funded for the conversion to digital radio. And we have seven stations around the state that have been converted now, and that's WHAD in Milwaukee, WHA in Madison, and WERN in Madison, and WLSU in La Crosse, KUWS in Superior, and the Wausau station, WHRM, in Green Bay. We have those stations have been funded by a combination of federal money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the state of Wisconsin. And we were fortunate just a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned how the state budget is affecting us, but the state has always been very supportive in supporting our infrastructure, and we received State Building Commission funding for converting six more stations that'll match the federal funds that we had, and those stations will be WHWC in Menominee and WHHI in Highland, WHDI in Door County, WLBL-AM in Auburndale, WHBM in Park Falls, and WHLA in La Crosse. And with those conversions, which are expected to take place by March 30th of 2008, we will have a digital signal over as much of Wisconsin as Wisconsin Public Radio covers. And what that means to listeners mm-hmm. is that, well, first of all, if you have an HD radio, the signal is higher quality, especially on AM. You can hear a big difference. But most important, what we can do with HD radio is broadcast one or more additional channels on which you can pick up if you have an HD radio. And that's become particularly important in the Milwaukee area, where Milwaukee lost its commercial classical station a short while ago, and we're broadcasting a 24-hour classical service on that channel,
yeah.
and it's been a great service for a lot of people.
Tons of comments from in our listener services or audience services center regarding that, from people who are trying the HD radio to get classical music in the Milwaukee area and very, very happy with what they're getting. But a number of other comments, too, saying, for example, please let me know when Eau Claire will begin broadcasting 24-hour classical music. Do you know, Phil?
Yes. WUEC in Eau Claire. Now, that's... you should be able to get the WHWC in Menominee,
mm-hmm.
and that's scheduled for conversion sometime before March of 2008. So within the next 6 months, you'll be able to get the HD channel.
Yeah, and you whipped off a few of the stations. There is another comment from a listener. Is HD2 Classical available in Wausau?
It is now, and that Wausau is the one exception. We're putting the 24-hour classical service around the state, but in Wausau we have a problem with the Ideas Network in that it's on an AM station, WLBL, which is a grand old station which has a lot of history, but unfortunately it is AM, which some people just don't listen to, and it goes to very low power at night, so the coverage area gets very small. And so we decided to put the Ideas Network on the HD2 channel there to give it a better coverage during the day and the evening. And so that's why the Ideas Network is on the HD channel on WHRM in Wausau.
Yeah. I live in Milwaukee and have sorely missed the classical music on the commercial classical station that no longer plays it. Today, I purchased an HD radio, which will be permanently tuned to WHAD2. Thank you for providing this music, and please continue to do so. And Wisconsin Public Radio is planning on continuing to do so, Phil?
Right. Mm. And again, back to Betsy's question. So the conversion of the stations have been funded. The additional cost to put the HD channel on is minimal. In fact, it's free right now because we've been able to get the first year free from the Classical Public Radio Network, and that's who is providing that service to us. But that can be done at very low cost because it's just something that's kind of set and goes. And more and more people are discovering HD radio. If you want to learn more about HD radio, you should go to our website, wpr.org. Steve Johnston, our director of engineering, has put together a wonderful link there on HD. Tells you where you can buy an HD radio all around the state, how to hook it up, tips for getting better reception. And we should point out, too, that unlike television's conversion to digital broadcasting, in radio, the analog will continue to be there. There's no FCC mandate to change. So when you buy an HD radio, you will also get the main channel as well. So that's not going to go away. It won't affect your analog or regular radio reception. It's just that if you have an HD radio, you'll be able to get this extra channel. And more, it's starting to catch on. I saw that Ford, for its 2008 models, is going to be offering it as an option. So that's a good thing because a lot of people listen in the car. And the prices of the HD radios are coming down. They started out in the $200 to $300 range, but you can get them now for the $100 area. I've seen mm-hmm. them, and they do go on sale. And again, you can go to our website and find out how to get them. The HD coverage is slightly less than the analog, so you have to be a little bit more particular. I was looking at this listener comment that came in saying, we are enjoying the new HD station in Milwaukee. We live in the Clovernook area. We had problems with the radio in the kitchen, but my husband futzed with the aerial, and now it's fine. The sound quality is wonderful, like being at the symphony. I've told my friends and family to buy digital radios. Christmas is coming up. You know, it's a good idea. I'm going to probably buy one for my mother. But Steve at Wisconsin Public Radio, that's Steve Johnston, our director of engineering, sent an aerial to my sister, and since then she's gotten great reception. So sometimes just putting a dipole antenna, a simple antenna, on the radio will solve those reception problems. And again, Steve has helped a lot of people with that. And if you go to WPR.org, you can get the additional information and also information on how to contact Steve if you're still having problems.
Good. And you're not going to buy your mom a Ford so she can have it in the car, Phil?
I'm afraid not. I think she just wants the classical music, and she's in Milwaukee, and she really enjoys having it.
Back to the phones. Thanks to Betsy for her call. Herb in Clintonville is with us now. Hi, Herb.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Herb from Clintonville. Yes, I've been listening for quite a few years now since I'm retired. I spend a lot of time. And the problem seems to be just going off the air for either short periods of time, half a minute, up to half an hour all the time. Is that a problem with the equipment, or is it a problem with the equipment operators? And then the other thing is I enjoy the BBC and the Canadian broadcasting because of the different perspective.
Thanks, Herb. And it's been a problem with the equipment in Green Bay. We've had we've been changing out some equipment, some microwave links there, and installing studios and things like that. So there have been more interruptions to the signal than we would be comfortable with. And again, that's been a priority for me this year, is to track down those problems. And I put together a quality control team with some of the best engineering talent in the state, and we're working on it, Herb, and I hope that in the future those problems will be greatly diminished.
Okay, then one other thing. How come, like, for instance, on Saturday night, you're announcing on one station that Garrison Keillor is coming on, nothing is said, then all at once the Asian program comes on, so you got to quick jump over to the other station to get Garrison Keillor.
In some of the areas of the state, and Green Bay being one of them, because Prairie Home Companion is broadcast on both networks from 5 to 7 on Saturdays, some of the areas in the state cut away to some locally produced programming, and with the growing Hmong population in your area of the state, that was a program that originates from Green Bay and was put on to serve that population, because it was felt that because the coverage of both stations in Green Bay is roughly equal, that it was redundant to have the same thing on both networks.
And I know this has come up before. It's announced that program is coming up for most of the stations that are going to be hearing a Prairie Home Companion. It's kind of difficult to customize each announcement for each region when you're broadcasting statewide. So Herb, thanks for the call. An email from Betty, somewhat related to Herb's question, wondering, why do you sometimes go off the air? You do that in Racine on Sunday nights, just black out for an hour. In Racine?
Well, that's something that's a little bit beyond our control. Most of the stations in Wisconsin Public Radio are licensed to either the UW Board of Regents or to the Educational Communications Board. The station in Racine, Kenosha, WGTD, is actually licensed to the Technical College, Gateway Technical College, down there. And so they have their own engineering staff and take care of their transmission facilities. But I didn't know that it happened every Sunday night. I'll look into that Sunday. What time?
Well, it was an email, so I don't have.
Okay.
Yeah. So, maybe it's not every Sunday, but she indicates that in her email. And you can send an email too, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We did get one comment fill in our listener logs from this past month that wondered, why do you make it so difficult to send an email to your talk shows when they are live? Mm-hmm. And I guess I can try to handle that one. You can send an email to talk@wpr.org. You know, we have been accepting email questions and comments during our Madison-based talk shows for ever since I've been sitting in this chair. I think he might be referring to he or she might be referring to our Milwaukee-based talk shows hosted by Kathleen Dunn and Ben Marins, because we didn't quite have it set up with computers in the producer's booth in the studios, and it wasn't set up operationally to make it easy for the host to take emails during a talk show. But now, within the last few weeks, that has been resolved.
Oh, good.
And all of our talk shows, including our Milwaukee-based talk shows, do accept emails. Now, not every single email that is sent in is going to be used on the air, just as every single call that comes in doesn't necessarily be get put on the air. But you can indeed send a question or comment via email to talk@wpr.org. Or you can ask Phil a question about Wisconsin Public Radio. It doesn't have to be about HD or transmission problems. It can be about anything. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Phil is with us for his monthly visit to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio, to share news with you about the issues that matter to you, news about Wisconsin Public Radio, and to hear your questions and your feedback about what you hear. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hope you stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock, and as she does every Monday in her 9 o'clock hour, it's all things political. She'll talk with a guest about all the major news stories, the political news from the past week, coming up after 9 o'clock. Talking with Phil Corvo for the rest of this hour, welcoming your questions, your compliments, your gripes, your feedback about the programming that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Harv in Washburn is with us now. Hi, Harv, you're on the air.
Right. Yeah, as an old shortwave listener, if you ever do decide to change providers for your evening service, well, I'd like to put a plug in for Radio Nederland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed them.
They are terrific broadcasters, and put out some things. Gene Faraca, mm-hmm. who does the Here on Earth program at 3 o'clock in the afternoons on the Ideas Network, has kind of a partnership and with them, and exchanges information and guests and things like that. But yeah, they are terrific broadcasters, and they occasionally have programs that we broadcast on Wisconsin Public Radio. So thanks for the reminder. They do an excellent job.
Thank you, Harv. Mike in Madison is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I have a question about that annoying little beep 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 that goes with every announcement of of what station this is. I, in fact, while waiting on the phone, I was treated to another two performances of that. does that reminds me of one of these beeps that used to be used to synchronize signals. Does it have some function like that, or is mm-hmm. it simply decorative?
It's a great question, and one that is a topic of conversation here. In fact, at our last quality control meeting, we sort of affectionately refer to those as the bleebles, and they do have a function. I mean, that what they do is they because we're a state network, they direct transmitters around the state. They receive the beep 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 bleebles, and it tells them to fire off a station ID or some other function like that. Now, we are working, and we've diminished the amount of bleebles, and it's possible technically, as we add equipment, to be able to have sub-audible tones so that you don't hear it, and it's less offensive. I'll admit to you and that I'm probably the only one on our staff who actually likes them.
You'd be right, Phil.
I think they sound comforting to me somehow. It tells me the network is operating. I don't know, but I'm kind of a.
But yeah, those little tones will tell the regional station to play the ID, the station identification. But also, if there is like a regional announcement of some sort,
right.
That's why you heard two of them, because you heard a regional announcement and you heard an ID in that little. We affectionately call it a stop set that was played while you're waiting. But it would be nice if we didn't have to hear as many of the tones in quick succession.
I think that within a year or two, to your delight, they will probably be phased out. And I'll miss them. But
thanks very much, Mike, for the call. And Rich in East Troy is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
I do have one question. Have you ever thought of the Ideas Network going on satellite radio, and what would be the hang-ups and pluses for it? And yeah. I'll hang up. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Yeah, we think about it a lot. It would be terrific if it could be on satellite radio, but the cost is just it would be. Very prohibitive. It would probably cost about as much as it costs to put on the whole network to do that. I wish we could, Rich, and maybe the technology in the future will allow for lower cost. But right now, some of our programs, our national programs like What Do You Know and To the Best of Our Knowledge, are on the satellite as part of a service on XM and Sirius. But it's I don't have a number for you, but it's a number that stops conversation about it. It's just cost prohibitive.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Rich, for the call. Eric in Madison joins us now. Good morning, Eric.
Hi. I live in downtown Madison, and I commute every day out to the airport. And on my commute, I have to jump maybe 2 to 3 stations, depending where I'm at. But regardless of what station I'm on, whenever I stop at a red light, and the light is actually red, I lose reception. And it has something to do with either the red light or the crosswalks, and I was just wondering why that is.
You've hit on Steve Johnston's pet peeve, our director of engineering, and I suspect that most of the time you may be listening to WHA because it affects AM most of all. And there are transmissions of frequencies and radio waves all over the atmosphere that you don't even know about, and
right.
Traffic lights emit a frequency that interferes with AM radio, and it's something that doesn't have to be, and there is a way to solve that problem. And Steve Johnston, you know, I've seen some of his letters to the city, and they kind of get ignored, but it's a pet peeve of his, and he's working on that. Another way that people get interference that we hear about is if people have an iPod or a similar device in their car, some of them, to make it operate on their car radio, have a device that tunes to a channel, usually down in the non-commercial band. And if a car pulls up next to somebody who's using one of those devices, it can interfere with your car radio. So that may be another way that you're being interfered with when you pull up to a stop, because then you're close to a car. And those are two ways that we do receive interference. And I can tell you that we are working on the stoplight problem. Steve has not given up hope on that yet.
Yeah. I'm curious, Eric, are you listening to AM?
I'm actually not. I'm listening to the Delafield and Highland one.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking, that you change channels perhaps because those stations are from quite a distance away, Delafield and mm-hmm. Highland, and depending
right.
on what side of Madison you're on, you'll hear one better than the other. And there are there are other options, Phil, in Madison on FM, and maybe that, you know, you can, depends on where you are, what station might be best for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, and you've pointed to an area there near the airport that we do have some signal problems. You could try 107.9 if that's one of our translators, and you might get better coverage on that, or 90.9, which is those are the two FM translators in Madison. Yeah.
And since you're getting the interference even on FM, you can try the AM station. You'll get that. The AM station doesn't, except maybe for that, except doesn't for, really, you know, has full coverage of the area.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. That should come in strong.
That's nice.
Will that be an issue with HD if we ever go that route?
No, it won't. That shouldn't. Shouldn't affect that, Eric.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call. And Kevin in Deerfield joins us now. Hi, Kevin. Oh, boy. Kevin has his radio on, so we're not going to be able to go to you, Kevin. Let's go next to Dean in Madison. Hi, Dean. You're on the air.
Hi. I was sort of wondering about some of your classical programming. I noticed that it's a lot of, if you will, second or third tier orchestras. I don't hear the Cleveland Orchestra much. I don't hear Chicago. I don't hear Vienna. Is this a royalty thing?
Are you talking about the CDs that are played and who the performances are?
Yes.
No. That shouldn't have any effect on it at all. We pay a blanket copyright tribunal fee that covers virtually every recording, so that shouldn't have an effect. I'll speak with Vicky Nunn, who's our music director, and ask her about that.
I'm just thinking, I moved up here from Chicago, and the WFMT station there, you know, I mean, they're absolutely fantastic. And I moved up here, and I'm just hearing, like, these provincial, I mean, that sounds a little heavily laden, but these provincial orchestras here.
We'll take a look at that. Although the overnight service comes from WFMT, that's the Beethoven
that's right.
Satellite Network. I'll ask Vicki if there's if she's given any thought to that.
Thanks, Dean, for the call. An email from George in Pembine, Phil, says he talked to you folks a number of months ago about the fact there is very poor or no reception of the talk radio stations in far northeastern Wisconsin. Phil said he was looking into getting coverage for this area. Any progress?
I can report that this week, as a matter of fact, the Federal Communications Commission has opened up a window for the first time in over a decade for applications for new non-commercial stations, new non-commercial frequencies. And we have applied for a frequency in that area. So, yes, to that extent, there has been progress. It will be some time, though, it will be probably a couple of years before those applications are decided, if there are competing applications and we get the funds to build the station. But it's a very high priority for me. It's an area of the state that is not covered by any public radio. And frankly, if we are able to get a frequency in that area, we should be able to get some funding from it from the Public Telecommunications Facilities Program, which funds capital equipment for public radio, and their highest priority is unserved areas, and that's an unserved area, even though there aren't, the population density is low. You folks deserve some public radio, so it is on my radar, and we're taking steps to try to solve that in the future.
Thanks to George. Bill in Lancaster, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, sometimes when the guest speaker is talking, either it be you, Joy, or Kathleen, or whoever, sometimes you can hear them underlining or writing down something with a marker, or you can hear them breathing. And sometimes it's a little distracting.
And paper noise, too, occasionally. Yeah,
yeah, and we got rid of the typing. I used to type on the computer, and people didn't like that. Now we have a soundless keyboard, so you don't hear that anymore, at least from me. Maybe these mics are pretty sensitive. It's kind of hard to turn your mic off, Phil, when you have a guest in the studio or because you want to be able to, you know, to have a conversation and not have to worry about turning your mic on and off every 2 minutes.
The mics are very sensitive, and also it's a technical issue when the host comes on, particularly after a soft, something that's been going on soft, there's some automatic leveling equipment that brings the level of the mic up at the transmitter. And so that may be having some effect, but we'll pay more attention to that.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. We try not to shuffle papers. We have to breathe, though.
Occasionally. Yeah.
So thank you very much for that reminder. Let's see. Oh, Steve Johnston called in, Phil, to say that the red light interference occurs on the FM. The AM is clear. So,
It's FM. I thought it was AM. Sorry, Steve. but he is working on it.
An email from Bill in Casanova. All the radios in our homes and vehicles stay tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network, and we do support your efforts. However, we've noticed much more repetition of programs, especially on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. Do you see that changing, or do we just have to turn off the radio as we did yesterday? There are some programs that are repeated on the weekends, Phil.
Yes, there are some. Prairie Home Companion is one. They tend to be the programs that are very expensive for us to purchase, and we want to get the most use out of them as we can because it doesn't cost anything extra to rebroadcast, and sometimes people can't listen that program, for example, on a Saturday night. They're doing something else, and so, but we do try to keep it to a minimum, and we're this fall we'll be taking another look at our programming, and that'll be something we look at too.
And John in Egg Harbor is our next caller. Hi, John.
Hi. We can't in Sturgeon Bay. People cannot get public radio in many instances because of the strong interference from two religious stations owned by the same church. And I told I know the pastor, and I told him that they're interfering with public radio, and he says, we want to get our message out.
so do we.
I called about 5 years ago about this when they first went on the air. Yeah. And I discovered that I'm a radio amateur at a swamp fest. They discovered the same engineer that took care of public radio also takes care of these two religious stations.
Yeah. You know what? We're running short on time, John. I don't know about that specific instance.
Well, Steve Johnston, our technical director, is obviously listening since he wrote in, but I'll take that up with him. Those stations should be protected by the SEC because they're fully licensed stations, so we'll look into it, John.
Yeah. One last listener comment from the log as we finish off our last minute here, Phil. My wife and I would be lost without Wisconsin Public Television and Wisconsin Public Radio. We travel, and she won't watch or listen to anything else. Wisconsin Public Radio and TV are treasures. Isn't that nice?
That's a nice way to close it and close the program. And if you would like those treasures to continue, we have a pledge drive coming up starting on Thursday. And again, you can go to the WPRA.org website if you would like to find out more about how you can help out with our state funding situation as well.
Phil, thank you very much for coming in and talking with listeners. And we trust we will do this again next month.
Next month.
All right. Thanks very much. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager and Keisha Mabra for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.